Okay, so just before we get to the next panel, I don't know if there's any burning questions. I know that some of one of our panelists for sure won't be here for lunch, and so I don't want to leave it till then. I want to just for maybe 7 minutes, if there's any questions, and please just use the mics in the aisles. Yes. Good?
Hello.
Okay.
I'm Bill Hartzog, a student ombudsman at some schools in the Montreal district. And my question is, who's working on or where to turn for an examination of resources, responses, proactive and active, reactive, that school boards might take? If you look at the situation that is in the papers now, it seems that some of these students were actually in different school commissions and different schools. And there's a problem that comes up for me is that I could be reached by a victim who didn't think that the school's reaction was robust or protective enough. And I could also be reached by one of the perpetrators who felt that the measures were not appropriate. So we need a background in terms of what could schools do, because it could be that students just are accidentally in school, but that the activity had nothing to do with the school. It could be in the case we saw in the papers where a teacher observed the boys looking at photos, so the school had to be involved. So the whole area of how involved is the school, what should the school do to create a new climate, and I know the conditions that these young men were exposed to, not have any contact with the computer except to deal with school. But there's also got to be, and I don't think anyone knows now what that school commission did, but it's, you know, it's a new resource that's needed, I think. Because one question that I know your preoccupation is, what does the law do? But there's a whole other area of what would good practice involve. We know in the Parsons case that the school wouldn't readmit her after she'd changed schools and wanted to come back to her previous school, and the school wouldn't accept her back after the humiliation. So there's a whole new continent there. Thank you.
I couldn't actually hear the question very well, but from what I understand, I think there really need to be some well thought out procedures at the district level and the school levels, and I think communication is the best. I mean, each case is different, each circumstance is different, and when we if we don't have procedures in place and we react. If we're reactive, then we run the risk of also actually hurting children who are not even responsible for some of these behaviors, and also affecting their ability to continue in schools. Like, as you said, this one girl is not allowed back into the school into one of the schools. Is that what I couldn't hear? So again, I think we really need to have sustainable policies and practices and communication among the schools and among the school board. That there are no specific, we can't give you a rubric. We're often asked for what do we do? How do we deal with this? But each organization should put in place some kinds of guidelines. But not so strict that they don't look at things like due process. And I think the best way of doing it is always communicate with the parents. So restorative justice types of approaches really are that show the greatest promise. Even Aboriginal circle sentences, sentencing approaches show are very promising. Just getting people together to talk about some of the impacts is how you'll build empathy. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would like to as well. One of the things I found really interesting when we talked to teachers about these issues is that they felt that first of all, you're kind of toast because these policies of zero tolerance are in place, so your hands are tied to a certain extent. But what I found really interesting was that the teachers we talked to said that they saw that as a lack of respect for and trust in teachers' discretion. And they said it's really confusing to us because we deal with this kind of stuff in the classroom all the time. I mean, kids say offensive, racist, scary things all the time in the privacy of the classroom. They pull up content on the internet all the time in the classroom. And the teacher is the one who is there to guide them, to respond to it, to talk to them about it, as you said. And so I think we have to think more carefully. When we do create alternative policies, we tend to look for judicial or quasi-judicial responses. And by doing that, we're tying the hands of the people who are on the ground, who are trained to help kids learn how to talk to each other and behave and interact with the wider world. So it's kind of interesting that, and again, I go back to your comment about criminalization, Senator Jaffer, that this focus on criminal and quasi-criminal responses shuts down what works. You got a trained teacher in the classroom, they've got support because they can talk to each other. That community is actually quite vibrant. And particularly in the younger schools, they're very well connected with parents. I mean, you know, that those relationships, those human relationships are in place. And I think that's where you're going to find your most effective response, personally.
I'd just like to add, most interesting pieces of writing that's come out recently is by Professor Don Short of the University of Manitoba. It's a book called Don't Be So Gay. So it's an analysis of homophobia in schools, and in particular is an analysis of education-based laws and best practices and looking at what works and what doesn't work. And it talks about the limitations on zero tolerance that both Val and Shaheen have mentioned. And in addition, it talks about what it takes to create a culture of respect for diversity, which actually, in addition, may include the need to devote some resources to help teachers understand about human rights and about how to discuss issues around equality with children in order to inculcate a sense of respect for diversity. I think it's a really important book for that reason.
I think we have time for just one more question if there is anybody. Anyone? Well, if you think of anything, you can absolutely speak to them afterwards. So I want to thank our first panel.